thinking about all these young people here, it made me think back 50 years ago. Now, I know you guys are going, holy moly, that's old. But, you know, 50 years ago, there was a young man running around this neighborhood. He was a young teenager 50 years ago. Never had a thought that he would be standing here as an apostle delivering the Word of God. Think about that. What are you going to be doing 50 years from now? What is your life going to be? It's kind of like that letter. I know he didn't realize the work that the Lord had for him, but I know that he takes it very seriously in his love for his God and for those that he serves. So I pray that you would give your attention. Allow the Spirit to lead and direct your thoughts as he presents those things to us tonight, that it might help us in our lives. I'll give to you our apostle, Dwayne Ely.
Thank you, Gordon. It is good to be with you here today. It is good to see each one of you. I thank you for the specials. I counted the young people up here tonight, and I counted 28. I'm sure that this local would love to have 28 young people here for every service. But I thank you for your specials. They were very nice. It is good to be here. It's good to see that you've taken the time out of your life to attend this reunion. It's good for me to be back. Most of you know, but if you don't, this is where I was born and raised. I spent the first 20 years of my life here, and it's always good to come back and to see the body of Christ still here, still serving the Lord, still having reunions, and people attending them because they want to grow stronger spiritually. You know, on our way up here, we talked about many things. And you know, some things in life are easy to understand. And some things are hard to understand. And then there's some things that are impossible to understand. They are beyond our comprehension. And I'm sure as you're sitting here, you're already thinking of these things. These things that are beyond our comprehension. For example, we can chew our food month after month after month without any problems. And then for some reason, we bite a chunk out of our cheek. My cheek is still sore. Or we drink liquids month after month after month and don't have any problems. And then for some reason, we pour a half a glass into our lungs. Our sister Nana, who was here earlier, testified that somehow she got a chip in her lung. Things we don't understand, how these things happen, but they do, don't they? And you know, we often can't understand why things don't always work right. But you know, it's even harder to understand why some things do work right. For example, since this reunion began, my heart has beaten about 230,000 times. Since I was born, it's beaten about 2.3 billion times. How does this work? I don't know. I don't understand it. It's beyond my comprehension. But I know it is by the power of God. I do nothing to breathe and for my heart to beat. But it does it day after day. Hard for me to understand. You know, God, when he created man from the dust of the earth, how do we explain that? And he says that you breathed life into him. What a powerful, mighty God we have. You know, during this reunion, we've talked about many things. In the sermons, in the prayer services, in the testimonies. I've written down a few of these things that we've talked about in this reunion. We've talked about humility, the Word of God, repentance, teach the basics, God's way is the best way, hope, righteousness, keep the commandments, the peace of God, forgiveness, trust God, prayer, and fasting and prayer. Study the Scriptures. Pay your tithing. Choices. Depart from iniquity. The fruit of the Spirit. Seek God's wisdom. Find the path and follow it. Choose Jesus, and if you do, you're choosing life. Follow Christ. Thanksgiving. Endure to the end. All important things. And I'm going to talk about a few of these tonight. You know, Joel and I recently returned home from a trip to Ethiopia. And I keep a daily log of our travels, my travels, wherever I go. And you know, I put in this log that during this trip, that we had a rough start, we had a rough middle, and we had a rough end, especially for Joel. We started out, we flew from Phoenix, and our plan was to fly to Nairobi, Kenya. We get there about 9 o'clock in the evening, and then shortly after midnight, we fly on to Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. We get there about 2 in the morning. Well, as we're landing in Nairobi, they announced that Kenya Airways is on strike. And, of course, that's the airline that we were going to fly from Nairobi to Addis Ababa. They were on strike that night, and there were no planes going out. So we finally got to the hotel. They put us up in a hotel, and we finally were able to get booked on our own for a flight the next morning. And we got about 2 hours sleep. And the next morning, we were on our way. In the middle, we were trying to get work permits and resident ID cards. They tell us we have to have these. And they're very difficult to get. We've actually spent about 2 years working on this and dealing with the government and problem after problem. We even had to reschedule some of our services. We weren't able to go to some places because we were dealing with the government. But part of this, in dealing with the government, we had to go to the federal police. And in order to get this work permit, we had to have a background check. And Joel and I now have a document, a stamped, certified document, that we are not criminals. And you know, after all these years, I'm glad to finally find that out, that I'm not a criminal. The end, on our way home, Joel got food poisoning or something. And he was sick most of the way home. Part of the glamorous life of a missionary. And you know, it's hard to see Joel, a big, strong guy. When you get that, you're just out of it. But there were positive things. We had some excellent testimonies when we were there. I mean, really excellent testimonies. And Joel told you one today, and I'm going to repeat it tonight. But I'll talk about these testimonies a little later. And even though we spent a lot of days, Joel and I finally got our work permits and we got our resident ID cards. One of the problems is the ID cards have to be renewed every year. And we're still trying to figure out how we're going to do this. The good news was, though, according to Koba, our leader there, is the work permits are good for 4 years. But they have to be renewed every year. So I'm still trying to figure this one out. And we had 12 baptisms. 12 new brothers and sisters came into the Church of Christ. And one of them was an older lady. And I was the one doing the baptisms. And she's now a sister in the Church of Christ. And she's fairly short. And she's kind of crippled. Her feet were kind of twisted. Her toes kind of go in different directions. She can walk a little bit, but not very good. And if she was in America, I would guess she would be about 100 years old. But it's hard to guess ages in these foreign countries. There's a man, a leader in one of our congregations who I would guess he's in his 70s. He was 47. So there's no way to know how old she is, but she is an older lady. And all these different countries have different ways that you greet people. And in Ethiopia, there's a greeting that you use it whether you're saying hello or goodbye. And the greeting is that you take their hand and then you touch cheeks. You know, you touch the right cheeks and then you touch left cheeks and then you touch right cheeks again and then you touch shoulders. And if you've been there for any length of time and you know these people fairly well, which I do, is then after that you touch shoulders, then sometimes you embrace, you know, for a short period of time. Well, as we were leaving, and the service was over, and we'd had a little meeting inside, and this lady was sitting outside, and we were leaving, and I walked out. And she puts her arms up to me, you know. And I'm going to greet her like normal. So I lean down to greet her, and she reaches up and kisses me on the mouth. And I was quite surprised. And you know, normally in my life, there is only one person on this earth that I kiss on the mouth. And that's my wife sitting right over there. I didn't know quite how to react to this. She is my sister in Christ. I can, from the bottom of my heart, I can tell you that I love her. And I see sisters out here in the congregation that I love. But I don't kiss you on the mouth, do I? I'm sure if that got out, that the apostle in the Church of Christ was kissing all the sisters on the mouth, we'd have quite a scandal started. I'm going to tell you at the end of the sermon why I think she did this. Here, I'm going to tell you now about some of the testimonies that we heard when we were in Ethiopia. There was one lady, it was a fairly short testimony, but she'd been a Christian for many years, but there was some type of tribal problems that they had. And you know, these different tribes, there can be all kinds of things you can't even imagine. You know, I don't really know what the problems were. But her testimony was of how blessed she was because she found the truth of Jesus Christ. She found it. And she is a member of the Church of Christ now. She was praising the Lord that she had found this. And then another lady gave a testimony about forgiveness. If you were here yesterday, you heard a testimony about forgiveness from her brother Gordon. And this lady's testimony. Years ago, I don't know how many years ago, a man in from their village where they lived, killed her son. And he went to prison. But when he got out of prison, he would, according to their law, I don't know if this is all of Ethiopia, but it's the law of that village, that when he had served his time in prison, that if he came back to that village, his family had a right to kill him. That was the law. So he didn't come back to the village. But this lady, who had been converted to the Church of Christ, she was a member of the Church of Christ. And she believed in following the commandments. And she believed in forgiveness. She went to this man. Her, and I don't know, her family, I don't know who all went to this man. They went to him and they talked to him. And they forgave him of that sin. Pretty hard, wouldn't it? Kind of like Gordon's testimony. Pretty hard to forgive somebody of that. But she did. She forgave him. And he was allowed to come back to that village because she had forgiven him. And he is living there in that village today. One of the best examples of forgiveness I've heard. Let's read in Matthew chapter 6. Verses 14 and 15. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. These are the words of Jesus Christ. It shows us how important forgiveness is, isn't it? That it's not just an option, is it? It's not something we do if we're real charitable in our hearts or feeling real good that day. It's a commandment from Christ, telling us that, you know, if we're not willing to forgive our brothers who have sinned against us, then God's not going to forgive us when we ask for forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. We see we add a little more element here. You know, it talks about forgiving one another, but we go and say, and kind one to another, tender-hearted. We need to be kind to our brothers and sisters, to everyone that we interact with. It's important. Now we're going to go on. We're going to take another step. And let's turn to Luke chapter 6. And read verses 27 and 28. But I say unto you, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you, bless them that curse you, and pray for them that despitefully use you. We've gone another step, haven't we? That we are to love our enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Again, the words of Christ. Are all these things easy? No, they're not, are they? It takes something from inside of us, doesn't it? It takes a pure heart, a pure desire to serve our Lord, to be able to do these things. But this is what the Lord is asking us to do. This is the testimony that Joel gave yesterday. But I want to repeat it again today. It's important. It's part of my sermon. And this man, Kobach, he is our interpreter. He's our original contact person. He's our coordinator. And he's a very humble man. You know, sometimes he'll be doing, in this work permit process, he's working tirelessly trying to get this done, doing documents and all kinds of stuff. And he translates stuff for it, and he goes back and forth and doing all these things. And I tell him, I said, Kobach, thank you for all that you do. And he goes, it's just my duty. It's just my duty. He doesn't want to hear it. It's my duty. He takes his duty seriously. And he gave these testimonies. And Joel told him yesterday, but I'm going to just go over them briefly. When I was there in February with Buzz Brickhouse, and his son had severe nosebleeds in. And in fact, we thought that Kobach was going to take him to the capital city of Addis Ababa, which is a two-day drive from his village, to have medical attention. But when he got there that morning, I asked Kobach, I said, where's your son? He said, oh, he's better. So we didn't take him. So that's the last I'd heard of that until Joel and I got there. But his son had serious nosebleeds that would not stop. And then his daughter, these are two separate times, and this has all occurred since Buzz and I left there in February. So it's just been the last couple months, 2 or 3 months. And this was a completely separate time with his daughter. And she was paralyzed on the left side. I mean, I don't know, it sounded like a stroke to me or something. But she was paralyzed, and she would carry a tray or something. Well, she couldn't hang on to it, and she would drop it. And they were getting after her. You know, what are you doing? And they found out she's paralyzed on this side. And this humble, faithful man, he diligently prayed to the Lord. And as Kobach is explaining this, I can assure you that he poured out his heart in mighty prayer. I can assure you he did. I can tell by the way he was describing it that he poured out his heart and placed him before the Lord's throne, telling the Lord, Lord, I can't do anything. I'm helpless. Only you can heal him. He prayed in faith, believing. He put it in the Lord's hands. He took it out of his hands. He knew whatever the Lord's will, that's the way it would be. Each time they were healed. And he described this as the worst torment in his life. Isn't that what he said, Joel? The worst torment in his life. And this is a person who had to spend a year in a refugee camp. Life's not easy over there. This was the worst torment in his life. The Lord healed those children and blessed him. He's a faithful, righteous man, and his prayers were answered. Let's turn to James chapter 5, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. You know, if the elders would have been there, they could have went and ministered to him. There's still no ministry in Ethiopia. They are praying diligently that there'll be ministry there. But there aren't any at this time. They didn't have any other recourse. All they could do is put their faith and trust in the Lord. That missionaries are 10,000 miles away. And to get there, to get to his village from my home, 3 days of flying and 2 days of driving. It takes 5 days to get there. He knew what he needed to do, and he did it. He prayed diligently, and they were healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. He is a righteous man, and it availeth much. It's two good examples of that with his children. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. A very common scripture to us. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the assurance or the confidence of things hoped for, and the proof or the conviction of things not seen. Faith. We must believe without seeing. Believe without seeing. Believe in Jesus Christ. Believe He is the very Son of God. Believe that He created His church. Believe that He gave us the commandments. Believe that we must follow after Him to obtain eternal life. Verses 6 and 7. But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Impossible to please our Lord if we don't have faith. And we're going to read verse 7. We'll see an example of this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Do you not think that was a test of faith? To be Noah and building an ark on dry land? Can you imagine the ridicule that he had? Unheard of. What do you need an ark for? Faith. He believed. The Lord told him to do this. And he did it. Because he believed what the Lord told him. Alma, chapter 10, verses 16 and 17. This is on page 776. We'll see the importance of faith here again. Neither can ye be saved in the kingdom of God if ye have not faith, neither can ye if ye have no hope, and if ye have no hope, ye must needs be in despair. And despair cometh because of iniquity. And Christ truly said unto our fathers, if ye have faith, ye can do all things which are expedient unto me. We see that we must have faith to be saved in the kingdom of God. And it says if we have faith, we can do all things. You know, the place in the scripture says if we have enough faith, we could have a mountain move from here to there. Take a lot of faith, wouldn't it? Of course, there'd have to be a purpose for it, too. But it'd have to be done by faith. You know, when we first went to Ethiopia, Brian had been in correspondence with this man, Koba. And, you know, he'd send us back and forth emails, and Brian had me read them. And, you know, we're talking about going to a new country and starting a whole new mission. And, you know, we have to try to determine whether these are real, honest, Or is it just somebody wanting money? And he would write this, and Brian said, well, this sounds like this. And I'd say, well, what if he's saying this? And he wrote back and forth. And we finally decided that we were on a trip to Kenya, and we were in Nairobi. We finally decided we're going to meet him in Addis Ababa and find out. We're going to talk to him face to face. And I had a list of questions. You know, I had a list of things. We want to find out, you know, what this guy is all about. So we set it up. And the way he found us, he found us on the website. Basically just plugged it in, and then kind of the Church of Christ kind of came to the top, and he started corresponding with us. I have no doubt that that was the power of God that led him to that website. And, you know, as he was corresponding with us, he told us later on, he said he never thought in a million years we'd ever go there to see him. Why would these white missionaries, 10,000 miles away, ever come to see me? But we did, and we went there, and we met with him. And we were just there overnight, basically. We flew in one evening, and we were going to meet with him that evening. We were going to meet with him the next morning, and then we're flying home. That evening, he comes with a friend of his, and he's late. You know, in these countries, people are usually late for all kinds of reasons. A lot of times it's not their fault, but they're late. So we're wondering, well, okay, is he going to come? Well, he finally came. But then he only had a little bit of time, and he had to go, and he had to do something else, and we're thinking, oh, well, it's not looking too good. But anyway, so we talked to him. He seemed like a nice guy, and we gave him a copy of Brian's book, the thumbnail sketch of the Book of Mormon. We gave it to him, and away they went. The next morning, we're waiting, and they're an hour later, and an hour and a half, and we thought, well, that's it. We're done. You know, you're not coming back. And they come back. Here they come. They come rushing in. Oh, yeah, we got, you know, this happened and that happened, and we only have an hour, and because this, we have to do this and that, and they're going, But he came in. He said, I read that book last night, and I believe it. I'm going, And we're talking to him. And I got my list of questions there. And we're talking and corresponding back and forth. And I would have never believed this would have happened. And I looked at Brian, and he looked at me, and I said, we'll be back. We'll set up a trip. We're coming back. I didn't ask him those questions. I didn't need to ask him those questions. And away they went, and we planned a trip. A righteous man. And the work is growing there. We have quite a few villages, and we have more contacts. We have places, more places that we can go, to be honest. More places that we can go. And then we're in a place called Gelgel. That's about an hour's drive from the capital city of Addis Ababa. And I had been there. My time gets all mixed up with Brian. It's been a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, and we were there first. I can't tell you how long ago. But we were there. Brian and I were in this place called Gelgel, and we were scheduled to be there for 2 days. And then we were going on to go all over the country. And there was two men there. And they told us in this testimony that they were excited that the missionaries were coming. They were excited. They were glad that they were coming to their village, you know, and they wanted to hear what we had to say, even though they were paid ministers in another church. They wanted to hear what we had to say. And, but I need to kind of explain a little bit about this, that of being a white man in this country, that there's advantages and there's disadvantages. One of the disadvantages is they charge us higher rates for hotels and things. They have it's not a foreigner's rate, they have a white man's rate. And they don't try to be politically correct. There's a white man's rates. You're gonna pay higher rates. And they're years ago, their currency was called the birr. It's BIRR, but they didn't print it there in Ethiopia. It was printed in the UK and shipped to Ethiopia, and then they spin it. But the perception of Ethiopians is that this money was printed in UK by white men. So they think all white men can print their own money. They print it in the basement. They all do. They're all rich. So to try to tell them that you don't have money, just go print some, you know. But the advantage is that they want to hear what we have to say. The white man who's come 10,000 miles. They want to hear what we have to say. Something new, something different, something they never heard before. Even though they may be ministers in another church, they want to hear what we have to say. So we were there. But when we started preaching to them, they both kind of changed their mind about these white missionaries. They decided that maybe they didn't like to hear what they had to say. When we started preaching about priesthood authority, that the Church of Christ does not have a paid ministry, that they would have to be rebaptized to be members of the Church of Christ, they didn't like that. And he told us in his testimony, they really didn't want us to come back. They didn't want to see us again. They didn't want to hear that stuff. They didn't want to hear what we had to say. They didn't want us to come back. And that first time that Brian and I were there, they had a lot of questions. A lot of questions about rebaptism. They didn't, they didn't want to hear that. So the way this trip worked out, we were there 2 days. And we went on a 2-day drive to a place called Gambela. And we were there for several days. And then we had 7 or 8 days planned for a place called Tepi. And we're ready to go in the morning. It's time to drive to Tepi for 7 or 8 days of our scheduled trip. And Cobus comes to us and says, "We can't go. The government won't allow it." During times of political, when there's candidates, when it's election time, they don't want people congregating. It's illegal. It's against the law. He said, if I take you there, I will be arrested. We can't go there. So we had 7 or 8 days. The only thing we had is go back to Addis Ababa and go back to this Gilgal. So these two guys that didn't want us to come back, there we were back again already. And they had lots of questions. And I think as we talked to them, that they started to soften a little bit and started to become a little more receptive. And then one of the brothers had a dream. And he related this dream to us. And I don't know exactly the time frame of when he had this dream. But in this dream, I was in this dream. And I was holding 2 roses. I had 1 in each hand. In my left hand, I had a wilted, dried up rose. And in my right hand, I had a beautiful, fresh rose. And the wilted rose, I was kind of holding it back like this. But that beautiful, fresh rose, I was holding it out to him. And he knew what that meant. He knew that that dried up, wilted rose was that old church that he belonged to. That it did not have the truth of Jesus Christ. That it was not where he should be. And he knew that beautiful rose was the Church of Christ. It was the truth of Jesus Christ. He knew that he must join that church and be part of that church. Both of these men gave up their paid ministry. They joined the Church of Christ. And they are members today. The Lord had given them what they needed. They had a new understanding of the commandments. They had a new understanding of what the Lord was telling them that they needed to do. You know, if you look on the internet, there's a lot of websites that say in the New Testament there's 1,050 commandments. 1,050. Things we should do, things we shouldn't do. I don't know if this is accurate or not. Doesn't really matter. But there's a lot. There's a lot of commandments that the Lord has given us that we must follow. And you know, this is what makes the Church of Christ different from the rest of the world. Because however many commandments there are in the Bible and in the Book of Mormon, we believe that we must follow all of them. That sets us apart from all of the churches on earth. We believe we must follow all of them. Christ, He summarized them into just two, didn't He? In Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. We are to put Christ first in our lives. Put Christ first. And we're to love Him with our, you know, it says with our, with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. In Luke it says also with all thy strength. Our whole being. That's what it's telling us. We're to love Him with our whole being. To put Him first. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Love thy neighbor as thyself. So we see all these commandments, however many there are, all summarized into two. And what do they revolve around? Love. Simply love. If you love the Lord, if you love Christ with all your heart, you would never sin against Him. You would never break His commandments. You would never want to disappoint Him. If you loved your neighbor with all your heart, you would never sin against them. You would never take anything from them. You would never want to hurt them. You would never offend them. You would never be angry with them. Two simple commandments. Love. Mosiah chapter 9, verse 41. This is on page 259. Now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, what have you against being baptized in the name of the Lord as a witness before Him that ye have entered into a covenant with Him, that ye shall serve Him and keep His commandments, that He may pour out His Spirit more abundantly upon you. Most of you have been baptized in this room. Some have not. Those that have been baptized, this is the covenant you made with the Lord. Those that may be in the future, this is the covenant you will make with Him. You make a promise to the Lord, that you're going to serve Him and keep His commandments. And if you read on down here farther, it says you serve Him until you are dead. So there's no end to it. It's, you serve Him all your life. You endure to the end. A promise we make to keep His commandments, to keep all of His commandments. in 2 Nephi, chapter 11, and verse 39. And this is on page 142. Now we can see from this scripture the importance of keeping those commandments. Yea, behold, I say unto you, that as these things are true, and as the Lord God liveth, there is none other name given under heaven, save it be this Jesus Christ of which I have spoken, whereby man can be saved. So do we see the importance of following His commandments? He's told us we must follow His commandments if we want to be saved. And we see here that this is the only way that we can be saved, is by following after Jesus Christ. We must think about this every day in our lives. You know, we come here to this reunion, and I think reunions are very important. They're very valuable. I think they're needed. I think it's a mistake if people don't go to reunions. You need them. You need them. We can't do this on our own. We can't do any of this on our own. I can't stand up here and preach on my own. I can't make it to heaven on my own. I've got to have Jesus Christ in my life. And we've got to remain spiritually strong. If we get spiritually weak, what's going to happen? Satan is going to come in and devour us. We've got to remain strong. This is one way we can do that. We need to attend church regularly. When there's church services being held, we need to be there. We need to go to reunions, where you're immersed for 3 days in worshiping the Lord. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. I've never gone to a reunion where I wasn't uplifted and strengthened. This one's no different. This has been a wonderful reunion. I've been uplifted and strengthened. The Lord has been here. He knows you're here. He's pleased that you're here. The reunion just started and now it's almost over. In a few minutes, I'm going to sit down. The reunion is going to be over. But that does not mean our serving the Lord is over. When we walk out that door, we better plan on serving the Lord every day. Every day. And if you don't, you're going to start getting spiritually weak. I guarantee you. I can assure you that nobody stays the same spiritually. Some people think they do, but they're not. I guarantee you they're not. You're either growing stronger spiritually or you're dying spiritually. Oh, it's going to be just a little bit at the first. Just a little bit. So you've got to be serving the Lord every day to grow stronger spiritually. It's important. You know, when we preach in Ethiopia, we hear it many times. I've heard it many times there that they tell us that they have never heard anything like that before. And we preach the same gospel everywhere we go. In India and all the other countries in Africa, we preach the same gospel. But for some reason, in Ethiopia, we hear it more, that they have never heard anything like that before. Which if we're preaching the truth of Jesus Christ, they better be at least thinking that, because we're different. There's nothing like the truth of Jesus Christ. You go in these villages, these people have never heard the truth of Jesus Christ. They have not heard it. We are different. We are different. And I want to tell you just a few things, a few ways that we are different, that we're different from the world. Don't ever forget that, that we're different, that this is Christ's true church. It's important that you understand and know that. And the Lord has brought each one of you here. He's brought each one of you to this church. He's exposed each one of you to this church. He's brought each one of you to this Colorado reunion. This group of people we have here tonight will never be assembled again. Just like this. Not on this earth. Not this exact group of people. They won't be here again together like this. Last reunion, we had a different group. We didn't have the young people. It's so good to see the young people here. Next year, we'll have a different group. But the Lord has brought us here to this reunion for a reason. For a reason. You need to find out what that reason is in your heart. Why did the Lord bring you here? Why did you come here? What have you learned? What are you going to take from this reunion? What are you going to do in the future? What are you going to do tomorrow, next year? What are your plans? What are your goals? Do they revolve around Jesus Christ? Or do they revolve around the world? We all have a choice. We make choices every day. Every day. One thing that makes us different is Christ is the head of the church, not a man, not a woman. That makes us different than other churches. It says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Do you understand how important that concept is, that Christ is the head of the church? When we go to these countries, we preach this, that it is Christ. And we can freely go there and preach the truth of Jesus Christ, because He is the head. We are following after His doctrine. But we see what's happened. Look at churches around you where a man or a woman has been the head. And what has happened? They have changed the doctrine every time. Every time they change it. That's why we follow the commandments. That's why when we want to know what we need to do in our lives, it's here in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. It'll tell you what you need to do. And you follow after everything it says. Don't listen to the world, because the world's going to lie to you. The devil's going to lie to you. He's going to try to lead you away. Christ is ahead. Follow after what He says. The second one, men, our ministry are called by revelation. What happens in the rest of the world? They go to seminary. Or they just decide they want to be a minister. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 4, it says, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." The ministry and the church of Christ are called by God. We are given our authority from Jesus Christ. The world has no authority. There is no authority out there. You must get your authority from Jesus Christ. The third one is there's no paid ministry. Very uncommon in the world that there's no paid ministry. So you can see when we go and tell these people these things, they've never heard anything like that before. And of course, some of them don't want to hear it, and they don't accept. We had an example of these two brothers who heard and accepted. They believed. In Alma chapter 1, verses 37 through 39. This is on page 301. We have a very good scripture for this in the Book of Mormon. There's scriptures in the Bible. The Apostle Paul, we know that he was labored as a tent maker to provide for himself. This is very clear in the Book of Mormon. And when the priests left their labor to impart the word of God unto the people also left their labors to hear the word of God. And when the priest had imparted unto them the word of God, they all returned again diligently unto their labors. And the priest, not esteeming himself above his hearers, for the preacher was no better than the hearer, neither was the teacher any better than the learner, and thus they were all equal, and they all did labor, every man according to his strength. This is such an important concept in the Church of Christ. This is something that's monumental. One of the things that sets us so far apart from these other churches. The priests left their labor. They left their labor. They had to work for a living. They had to provide for himself. And it said the people left their labors, as you have done here. Many of you tomorrow will go back to work. And they all returned diligently unto their labors. And it says the priest did not esteem himself above the hearers. God called me to do this for some reason. It does not make me any better than anyone else in this room. It's something he's asked me to do. He's asked each one of you to do something too. If you don't know what it is, you need to find out what it is. That all labor, every man according to his strength. And we see this concept that Christ in his infinite wisdom, that God the Father in his infinite wisdom put in his church no paid ministry. Because we see what's happened in the world where we have paid ministry. What happens? They preach what the people want to hear. And if they don't preach that, they will be fired. They'll lose their jobs. But as I tell people all over the world, we come here to talk to you. We come here to preach to you. We come here to preach the truth of Jesus Christ. We're going to tell you what is in these scriptures. We're going to tell you you have to follow the commandments. Because we're not working for you. I'm not working for you, anyone in this room. I'm working for Jesus Christ. I can freely preach his gospel. Oh yes, we have people that get up and walk out and leave. Their choice. But we're not going to preach anything but the truth of Jesus Christ. And Christ knew this. He knew what would happen if you'd have paid ministry. He knew the church would be destroyed. And of course we know that it was at one time, that it fell away into apostasy. An important concept. Another one is repentance. To preach repentance. Luke chapter 24 and verse 47. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. A commandment to preach repentance among all nations. Repentance was to be preached to the world. But what has happened in churches today all over this nation? Christian denominations, they no longer preach repentance. A very basic concept of Christianity of Christ's church is repentance. How many times can you read it in the Bible, in the Book of Mormon, that you have to repent of your sins? And why don't they preach it anymore? Because they are paid ministers, and the people no longer want to hear it. They no longer want to hear it, and they don't preach it. The next one's baptism. In 2 Nephi, chapter 23, and verses 24 and 25. This is on page 162. For the gate by which ye should enter is repentance and baptism by water, and then cometh the remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then are ye in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and of the Son. We see that there's a gate that we must go through, and this gate is repentance and baptism. And once we've gone through that gate, we are on that straight and narrow path that leads to eternal life. You're on the path. But you have to go through the gate. And the gate is repentance and baptism. I'm not sure how many Christian denominations now baptize. But there probably aren't very many. They have altar calls. Our sister talked about that this morning in her testimony. She didn't go. She didn't think it was right. That's the way many do today. They have an altar call. Or you're saved. They don't baptize. And then many churches don't baptize by water according to the scriptures. They just sprinkle a little water on them. But these things are the doctrine of Jesus Christ. It's His gospel. These are His commandments that we must follow. And that's what the Church of Christ does. We've gone back to when this was restored on April 6, 1830. We've gone back to Christ's doctrine. And we follow it. And this church will be here until Christ returns. Scripture promises us that. This church will be here. Christ's bride will be here on earth. But to be Christ's true church, we must follow after His commandments. We can't pick and choose which ones we want to follow. There's many people, many Christians in this nation who proclaim to be Christians that are living together out of wedlock. They have picked and chose which commandments they wanted to follow. They didn't want to follow that one, so they don't follow it. Still proclaiming to be Christians, even though they're not following after Christ. So why did the lady in Ethiopia kiss me? Moroni, chapter 7. Verses 50 to 52. And if a man be weak and lowly, this is on page 768. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity, and charity suffereth long, and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing. For charity never faileth. If you have not charity, ye are nothing. It sounds pretty important, doesn't it? Verse 52. Wherefore, cleave unto charity. Hold on to it. Hold on to charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ. And it endureth forever, and whoso is found possessed of it at the last day, it shall be well with them. This charity is the pure love of Christ. That's why I think that lady kissed me. She had that pure love of Christ in her heart. She had that pure love for me. And that was her way of showing it. Those people are easy to love. Our brothers and sisters all over the world are easy to love. But she showed that pure love to me that day. We need to have this pure love in our heart. Remember those two commandments that Christ gave us. Both revolved around love. Take something from this reunion. Apply it to your lives. It may be different for each one of us. Take something from here. It'll make you stronger. It'll make you grow spiritually. And the Lord will bless and strengthen you in your lives. I thank you for your time.